This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The blogs are changing the world, folks. Web logs are absolutely changing everything, business, politics. They're changing the way that journalism works. To help us make sense of this and discuss this, Tom Sumner joins us on the long line. Tom is a book editor and author, and has been involved now with blogs for quite some time. And if anybody understands them, it's Tom. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Coy.
Absolutely. Tom, for the folks who are listening, and I still get emails from folks who say, you know, you talk about blogs a lot on your radio show. Don't know if I've ever seen one. Not quite sure what one is. Get us up to speed about the development of blogs, what is a blog, and then we'll explore a little bit exactly what's happening as a result of all these bloggers out there.
Well, the first thing about a blog, you may have seen one without knowing it. I mean, it's just a website that you visit that has information on it. And I'll be talking most specifically about political blogging and political blogs today. But more and more, if you're following a news story and you just want to Google something about the U.S. attorney's purge or something like that, you're just as likely to end up on a blog as a news site, and or I should say a newspaper's website or a news agent's website. And when you get there, you may not quite recognize that what you're looking at is a blog. That happened to me the very first time I ever saw a blog. This was probably about 5 years ago. My first view of a political blog was a site called Media Whores Online, tracking the missteps of major media. And I had no idea what I was looking at, but it kind of it had a lot of information on it, but it kind of blew me away. It was put in such lively terms. I didn't quite know what I was looking at. And when I went back to look at it a couple of days later, the site had changed. It was entirely different. And that's the constant updating that goes on blogs. Old entries tend to fall off the bottom of the page and go off into the archives, and you'll only find them again if you go searching within that site.
And the newer entries, of course, are right there front and center at the top.
That's right.
And, of course, blog is short for web, as in the Internet, the World Wide Web, web log, L-O-G, which is a diary or a journal or something that's constantly updated.
Right. And if we use the term web log more consistently, I suppose people might be a little less confused. By now, though, I think we're kind of beyond that, I'm thinking. Most people have at least heard of a blog or have some basic concept of what that is.
Right, right. Tom Sumner is my guest. Tom, tell us a little bit about, do we know the numbers of how many people out there are blogging? And it's about everything from the attorney purge to, you know, your cat.
Yes, that's right. Technorati is the most, I don't know if it's reliable, but it's the site that you might go to track what's everything that's going on the blogs. And it looks like they've sort of stopped counting at about 55 million blogs.
Oh, my gosh.
As short as 2004, however, they were tracking 7 million. So in that amount of time, it's just gone so exponential, and people are blogging, setting up blogs all the time. I think it's enough to say that it's just exploding, and there are more and more every day. I don't know how much more specific we want to get than that.
Yeah.
And of those, of course, according to Technorati, there are about 330,000 or so political blogs.
And that's what we want to talk about for sure. But I just want to point out that, you know, we've sort of evolved. It used to be a business or an organization. You had to have a fax. You had to have a fax number. Then it sort of became that was the 70s. Then it sort of in the 80s, you had to have a website. The 90s, you know, if you were anybody or any organization, you needed a website. And now in the 2000s, it's sort of like you got to have a blog.
That's right. You got to have a blog.
And I know at the Sorensen Institute, where I hang my hat during the day, that was one of the things that I did when I came in as a communications director. I said, we absolutely need a blog, and we'll treat it like our newsroom. And we can constantly, every day, I update readers about what's going on at the Sorensen Institute or Virginia politics. And it really is a fantastic tool as a nonprofit or as a any business or even a school can take advantage of.
Well, that goes back to the original point. If somebody's Googling on a topic and your blog shows up, it's, you know, it's certainly an efficient way of getting your message out.
Tom Sumner is editor of William James & Company's Informed Citizen series. It's a series of books that presents current events from the point of view of political bloggers. Let's talk about political bloggers and their effects on journalism and media. From where you sit, Tom, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've seen happened and what is really happening now that we as voters and as citizens should be aware of.
Well, I think the impetus for all this political blogging is looking at a media system that has become, through time, or I don't know what it is, neglect or something, it became sort of broken. And some of this goes back to, I don't want to get too wonky, but some of this goes back to the deregulating the FCC and allowing major media companies to take over more and more market share and more markets, media markets around the country. This allowed them to take control of the message more significantly. And the rise of cable news, the 24-hour news stations, and the focus on the O.J. Simpson trial and recently Anna Nicole Smith, these stories that really don't have any real direct influence over most people's lives that tend to dominate the news stories that are in the what I would call the top-down media. In other words, they supply the story, and you sit at the bottom, and you get fed the story. Well, as we've seen in the last few years with blogs, the top-down model is being shifted so that people who have a genuine interest in a story that they are following can create their own little media center on their blog, and they can track a story and effectively disseminate information, and people seeking that information can find it. We're not so locked into what shows up on our doorsteps, the newspapers, what we see when we turn on the television or turn on the radio. We're able to go out and seek the information more than ever, and you can find, you know, all kinds of things.
Author, editor, and political blogger Tom Sumner is my guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question. Tom, let's talk specifics now. How exactly, then, are these political bloggers influencing the media? Give us some examples of things you've seen where this top-down model has been reversed, and these political bloggers, some of them sitting in their basements, some of them sitting at work, in a suit. It doesn't matter. Men, women, oftentimes teenagers. Give us some examples of things you've seen where these citizen journalists, through their blogs, have had some impact.
Well, one of the most influential blogs that everybody should be aware of is Talking Points Memo, Josh Marshall's site. Some years ago, you may remember that Trent Lott spoke at Strom Thurmond's 100th birthday party.
Yeah, my dad was there.
And he made some comments that could easily be interpreted to mean that if we had continued on with segregation, we wouldn't have had all the problems that we've had in the last years. Meaning, you know, I supported Strom Thurmond's segregationist agenda, and I wish that America had embraced it then, and we could that can move forward and be a much better country for it. These comments went unnoticed through the efforts of two bloggers, actually, Duncan Black over at Eschaton, also known as Atrios, and also Josh Marshall, just picked up on this and focused on it and hammered on it until eventually some of the major news media noticed the story, noticed that in the transcript that was in there, and it led to after some time Trent Lott was no longer Senate Majority Leader, as you remember.
Right. Other things that's, are yeah. Go ahead.
That's just one example. Most currently, Josh Marshall has been really working on the U.S. Attorney's purge, the firing of the U.S. attorneys from December of last year, and has been pushing that story up through the channels. And it's become two stories, really. The L.A. Times just ran a feature on Talking Points Memo last weekend about the phenomenon of that, the story within the story, how the story became a story.
Yeah, I mean, that's making headlines now, of course, and will continue to make headlines as we possibly have hearings on Capitol Hill. But folks may not realize that these purge of these U.S. attorneys actually started out as a blog story, well before it ever got into any newspaper.
And it's important to remember, too, that it's not a matter of the blogs are the journalists or the blogs are the reporters. What Josh Marshall noted was that something had happened. There was an odd firing of seven U.S. attorneys, and it raised an eyebrow at the time, and it was reported. It wasn't as if it didn't exist as a story, literally. It was a matter of focus. It caught his attention. And from catching his attention, it just sort of snowballed from there so that he was able to feature it front and center as a story to follow. And sure enough, it materialized into something. These sorts of the focus on these kinds of stories doesn't always work that way. It's not a matter of if you have a blog and you notice an odd little nugget in a news story and it catches your attention, there's no surefire way of making sure that it gets noted, that it then gets pushed up through the channels and becomes a major news media event, obviously. But blogs provide that opportunity of moving things that might be on the back pages, buried deep into a story, and bringing them up to the top and saying, look, isn't this an interesting nugget?
And some of these major blogs, some of the ones you've referenced, they've got many, many thousands of daily readers, like any newspaper.
That's right.
And that's staggering. I don't think most folks appreciate that. A lot of folks, you say blog, and they picture somebody in their pajamas in their basement writing for 10 or 15 friends. And for a lot of these major blogs, that's not the case at all.
No, that's right. But if you've got a blog and you've got it, and your traffic is a thousand or a couple of thousand, that's a nice-sized blog that can have some influence, actually. But Josh Marshall and some of these other ones obviously are operating at a much higher level than that, closer. I don't know the exact numbers, but must be 50 to 100,000 readers a day or so.
My guest is Tom Sumner. He's editor of William James & Company's Informed Citizen series, a series of books that presents current events from the point of view of political bloggers. Tom, let's talk about the fact that oftentimes these blogs are very partisan. There's conservative blogs, moderate blogs, left-wing blogs, and folks should appreciate that fact when they approach this information. They're not exactly doing what a newspaper, for example, claims to do.
No, that's right. And, it's, on the one hand, you might say, well, why would I need to pay attention to that? But there needs to be a place in the political discourse for, I believe, for agenda-driven reporting, for partisan reporting. I mean, yes, you do need to know when you go to visit Daily Kos, for example, that Marcos, the proprietor, is working very hard for the Democratic Party. It's also helpful to know that when you visit Michelle Malkin's site, that she's a right winger, and you'll see a lot of shrill comments no matter where you go. But you have to go into it knowing a little bit about what you're looking at and consider the source. But once you get, it doesn't take long to get that basic level of smarts behind you and move ahead from there.
And it's much more like the very beginnings of journalism in the late 18th century in America, in the early 19th century, before the penny press really took hold in the 1830s, newspapers were known as being partisan. There were the left-wing newspapers and the right-wing newspapers, and you picked up the newspaper that you wanted to read, and you knew what that it had a viewpoint, that it had an opinion. It was sort of written much like the alternative press weeklies around the country are written today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you had that, and that continued to a much lesser degree, even after there were, you know, journalistic standards were generally adopted at major daily papers. There still continued to be two major dailies in a metropolitan area, as you in my life, early lifetime.
Right, right.
They were competing with one another, and one of them was more generally in one direction, and one was more generally in another direction.
Tom, talk a little bit about, we've got a couple of minutes left, talk about what you do specifically is sort of bring these blogs off of the internet and off of the web into book form, which is a different animal again altogether.
Right. It's an editorial task. One way of looking at all of these web blogs is as a giant editing project waiting to happen. I mentioned the posts that fall off into the archives, and you will only find them if you are looking for a specific thing and your search ends up landing on one of those older posts. Or if you're just randomly clicking around and finding stuff. So I had an idea to resurrect some of those older posts, some real gems, and try to feature them around a particular topic. I did my own book on Rumsfeld. We followed up with a book on the Office of Special Plans and Doug Feith, which was the organization in the Pentagon for filtering intelligence that ended up in the speeches in the run-up to the Iraq War. And we did another one on the media. And the idea here is to go out and find some of the real gems that are out there, collect them all in one place, suitable for, sort of perfect commuter reading or bathroom reading or something, taking the web off of the computer screen and putting it into print. And you end up with something that's kind of an interesting little project and an interesting read.
Tom Sumner is the editor of William James & Company's Informed Citizen series. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Coy. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.